Hey, thanks. Please, don't. I'm sorry to hear you had to cut your previous call short there.
Well, that's okay.
With that
Steelers
linebacker.
It's his fault, not yours, and he understands if it was for you. All right, so so let's get to Nick Sirianni here. Obviously, in terms of the bright, young offensive mind, he falls into that category. What was your initial reaction when you found out that, in the end, he was the one that emerged?
Well, you know, it wasn't much of a surprise when you heard that his interview, that really he was the ninth candidate interviewed out of 10 in this Eagles search that started on January 11th when they fired Doug Peterson. The interview began Tuesday, and it didn't conclude until Wednesday. So when you hear that, you know, two parties are kind of really hitting it off like that, that there has to be some fire to that smoke. And, you know, so it wasn't a surprise when you heard that. But it is a bit of a surprise when you consider Josh McDaniels was really the perceived front runner in this whole thing. And, you know, I think he would have got the job, but I'm not so sure Jeffrey Lurie was ready to sign off on McDaniels. And he wanted to kind of look around a little bit more. And Sirianni must have come in and really, you know, hit the old proverbial home run to knock McDaniels off the, you know, off the scene there.
A lot of times, Ed, that when you make a hire in the NFL, a lot of times, not always, is the opposite of what you had. If I had an offensive coach, I want a defensive coach. If I had a player's coach, I want a disciplinarian, you know, and so forth. This seems like a very similar hire, just a younger version.
Of a Doug Peterson, you think?
Yeah.
Is that what I agree. I mean, you know, Doug didn't have a whole lot of he didn't have any head coaching experience in the NFL, and neither does Nick. Nick is, of course, younger, but he does have that reputation of being kind of a player-friendly coach and being able to play to his player's strengths. Now, you know, one of the criticisms of Doug toward the end was that he let his players get away with a little too much. And I don't think that the front office was real happy with that. So, you know, Sirianni can't come in and be Doug Peterson in that regard. What they hope he does is come in and, you know, brings a Super Bowl like Peterson did, or becomes that really home run type coach that Andy Reid was when Jeffrey Lurie hired him, and he spent 14 years here, never won a Super Bowl, but really gave this city, you know, a terrific run over the most of those 14 years. So that's kind of what I think they're looking for, is that young offensive mind, a little bit unheralded, I would say, similar to what Andy Reid was when they hired him, and that he can come in and he can stick around for a while and kind of grow with what looks like it's going to be a young team going forward in the 2021 season.
In Indianapolis with Frank Reich, he has been given a lot of credit for the kind of season Philip Rivers put together. He also had Jacoby Brissett that he mixed in from time to time. You look at the Eagles, Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts give you a feeling that they're the younger versions of what he just had in Indianapolis. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thought. You know, I also think that the Eagles liked how he shepherded, how, you know, Sirianni was able to shepherd through some quarterbacks after Andrew Luck kind of up and surprisingly retired after his first season there in 2018. And then, you know, he went with a backup quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, for 2019. And then you bring in another quarterback, Philip Rivers, for this past season. So really he's dealt with three different quarterbacks, and his offenses have never really skipped a beat. You know, they finished, I think, 10th with Luck, 9th with Brissett, and 12th overall with Rivers. So, you know, I think you get a lot of credit when you can kind of, you know, keep managing, you know, those shifting tides with the different quarterbacks coming in over those three seasons. And you're right, he did find a way to sprinkle Brissett in, and Rivers was totally on board with it. But you mentioned Wentz and Hurts, and, you know, Carson could still request a trade. I don't know what Nick's going to do. Obviously, it's one of the big question marks with this team as far as who is going to be the quarterback. Is he going to have an open competition once things ramp up again in, you know, April, May, if we're allowed to do that, you know, on the field? So there's still a lot of question marks in that regard. But, yes, if Wentz wants to stay and he wins a quarterback competition or he is anointed the starter, then I could see – Hurt still having a role similar to what Brissett did. The Eagles did try that, though, with Peterson this year. They did try to bring Hurts in before they gave him the starting job for the last month. But really, the plays that he ran were so predictable that you would hope that Sirianni would have a little bit more creativity in how to use Hurts if that's the situation.
Absolutely. In terms of what the mindset of Nick Sirianni is, what kind of role would his conversations with Frank Reich play in that mindset, in your opinion?
Well, I'm sure he leaned on Frank as much as he was able to. I mean, Frank is a terrific coach, an even more terrific person. Got to know him well when he was in Philadelphia. Just a great guy. And whatever Sirianni wanted to ask him, I'm sure Frank was all ears and gave him good consult on whatever it was he was asking. I know Frank had a great experience in Philadelphia, obviously won a Super Bowl with Doug Peterson. And I know he thinks very highly of Doug as well. I know Frank and Doug are very close. But I think Frank probably had nothing bad at all to say about the city, about the rough fan base, very demanding fan base, and a front office structure that is, you know, pretty much dominated by Howie Roseman as the general manager, but they won a Super Bowl with that structure, and I'm sure Frank knows that and probably gave good advice to Nick about what to expect as far as the personnel side of things go, as far as the fan base goes. And there are still some players here from when Frank was here. I'm sure he probably gave him some advice on that, especially on Carson.
Right, that's exactly what I was talking about, the Carson Wentz part of it. Looking at it. Look, Carson Wentz is a big reason why in 17, 18, and 19 the Eagles had success. He's part of the reason they didn't have success this year. So how do you view Carson Wentz? Because the dominoes around him didn't fall right this year to help him out either.
You know, nobody has really identified what the big problem was. I mean, we've all got our theories about what it was. Mechanics, looking over his shoulder at Hurts. Issues with Doug Peterson. I mean, there's a lot of theories that have been offered, and I'm of the belief that if you want to fix a problem, you have to identify what that problem is. And I'm not sure anyone's quite done that yet, so I think that's going to be up to Nick to come in here and try to get to the bottom of it. It was a big topic, I'm sure, in all these interviews that the Eagles held with these 10 candidates that they brought in. So I would suspect that that's certainly going to be a big part of what Nick's going to have to figure out. And I mean, you're right. Carson was a big part of the success, obviously, in 2017, playing at an MVP level before tearing the two knee ligaments and then winning four games in a row last year to win the NFC East and get them in the playoffs. So, really, the Eagles were as good as Wentz was, and you have to try to figure out a way to get him back to that point if you want to have success. Whether or not he'll have that opportunity, I mean, Carson hasn't talked. We don't know if he's going to come out and request a trade. I'm sure the Eagles are hoping that that does not happen with this hiring of Nick. But we'll see. I mean, but obviously it's something that they're going to have to get to the bottom of, because I'm not sure they're completely sold on Jalen Hurts either at this point, the Eagles.
Ed, give me okay, you're sitting there. You have an opportunity to ask two or three questions to Nick Sirianni. What would those two to three questions be?
Well, that's good. I would ask him just about Carson Wentz and you know, what his impressions far have been of Carson, and had he talked to Frank about Carson, because I'm sure those are the questions that are being asked in the interview. So my first question would be about Carson Wentz and how he was able to kind of keep the Colts on pace with three different quarterbacks over these three seasons. And then I would want to know exactly if he'll call the plays. And I don't think he called plays under Frank in Indianapolis. And I would ask him about his play calling. What kind of coach do we expect to see? You know, Doug was a very aggressive coach, a lot of fourth down calls. The Eagles really relied heavily on analytics. So I would want to know, because I know the Eagles want to use analytics, I would want to know if he's willing to follow those analytics and call plays that are aggressive and that adhere to those analytics, or is he going to try to be his own man and do things his way?
Which then gets down to it. Doug Peterson certainly gave one the impression that he didn't have free rein over certain things. Is that the impression you got?
Free reign over personnel, for sure. He did not have any free reign. He had no reign whatsoever over personnel.
Exactly. Nor
did he have reign over his coaching staff. We kind of learned that last year when he came out and said that, you know, his offensive coordinator, Mike Groh, and receivers coach Carson Walsh would return, and then the next day he fired him. So we know right then and there that, no, he doesn't have control over his coaches. I think he wanted to bring back Press Taylor as his offensive coordinator. Jeffrey Lurie wouldn't have it. So that was that. You know, I think that Doug probably wanted to get fired. I think this whole search kind of caught the Eagles off guard a little bit. They thought they were going to still have Doug as their head coach. But I think Doug just got a little fed up with not having that type of control. I don't think he ever wanted full control over personnel. He just wanted to be a coach, but I think that was an issue in some areas that he wanted some control over. But he didn't get it. And he has control of the roster. I was told that it was his decision alone to decide to bench Carson Wentz and go with Jalen Hurts. So,
right.
He did have control over the roster and how he coached those players, but he did not have some control in other areas. And, yeah, I think that affected him. And I think Nick will come in and he'll do what he has to do. The same thing. Howie Roseman has a very heavy hand in personnel. And hopefully they'll let Nick pick his own coaching staff. But we'll see. We'll see if he lets him do that. And we'll know here when these coaches start to get announced whether they were front office picks or whether they're Nick's picks.
All right, here's not a hypothetical, but just on past experience. How much time do you give a new coach at the NFL level, you know, before you really start making your evaluation as to whether it was the right hire or not? Is it halfway through the season, after a season, a year and a half in, a couple of years? How do you look at it, Ed?
Well, I like to give at least 3 years, and I
gotcha.
Give that same length of time for a draft class. You know, everybody always puts out their instant grades after a draft class happens or, you know, the draft happens. But I like to wait 3 years and see how things evolve. I know it's a kind of the microwave society and you want to have success right away. But unless you're really screwing things up and you have a mutiny on your hands early, which, you know, may have been the case with Josh McDaniels. I mean, you know, he does have that perception of being very arrogant, very, unable to kind of build personal relationships. So I don't think with Nick you're going to have that issue. You know, by all accounts, he seems like, you know, he's an emotionally intelligent guy like Peterson was, and I think they'll give him time to build his culture. And I think it takes 3 years to kind of root that culture, a couple draft cycles, get your players in here, let them develop, teach them, and give that coach time to win. And it doesn't always, you know, it's not always the case, unfortunately, in the NFL. But I think that's kind of, to me, 3 years is the benchmark.
Ed, absolute pleasure. Always great to have you on. Appreciate your perspective.
Hey, my pleasure, Steve. Thank you.